Welcome to Anchored in the Word.
So these things are temporary. Just know that. And that should be encouraging to us. The struggle that we have is going to be temporary. And then he says, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So there's two things he contrasts. The lust of the world, the things of the world. The world itself is passing away. That's temporary. But he says, those who do the will of God, they abide forever. But he who does the will of God abides forever.
This is Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Coastlands, in Eatontown, New Jersey, with our pastor and teacher, Bill Beckelman.
So much of what we give our time and attention to is only temporary, even as Christians. Jesus told us to store up treasure in heaven, where thieves cannot steal and moths cannot corrupt it or eat it away. What you do with your time, affection, and money shows where your heart is. As you listen to today's program, may you grow to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. At the close of Pastor Bill's message, I'll be sharing with you how you can get a copy of today's broadcast of Anchored in the Word. Subscribe to the podcast or simply get in touch with us. But for now, please open your Bibles to the book of 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, as we join Pastor Bill.
Well, why would we want to go somewhere else? Why would we want to dine at McDonald's, nothing against McDonald's, when we can eat at Four Seasons? And I don't mean the diner. I'm talking about the big hotel, okay? Nothing wrong with the diner either. But you get what I'm saying, right? And so he goes on to say now, he's reminding us, he's telling us all that we have. Again, some of what we have in Christ. And then he says in verse 15, I want you to make a choice. Now, I'm going to tell you what to do. But it's your choice to do what I tell you. Do not love the world or the things in the world. There's the command. Do not love the world or the things in the world. Now know that John wrote John 3:16 under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And John said this, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So God's not saying here, do not love the people in the world. No, that's not what he's saying. We know that because of other places of what he has said. So what is he talking about here? If he says you're not supposed to love the people, he's talking about the world system. Everything that's under the control of Satan, everything that's in the kingdom of God, and it is, they are people. But he's saying don't be part of that system. You know, we talk about worldliness, being in the world. And this is the problem. This is one of the problems that the church is having in this in the last days. Hey, it's nothing new. Corinth was having the same problem, the church at Corinth. They wanted to have one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world. Why not? Let's have it all, right? We're Christians. We've been delivered from our sins. Why can't we have it all? And the answer is no, you can't have it all in that sense. You can't have the world system, and the kingdom. You can't be in the kingdom of God and in the world at the same time. Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Well, then why do we keep trying? I mean, that's my testimony early on, you know. I can basically say, and I'm not boasting about this, there's nothing I can do to change it, but I wasted 17 years of my life when I was a young man. Basically, Christ came into my life when I was 19 years old. 19 years old. And he revealed himself to me in a way that I just knew it was God. And I never got plugged into a church. I read the New Testament 2 times, and it was like I was understanding it. That's one thing that Louis Zamperini said. I read the Bible. The first thing he picked up his Bible that he got, you know, from the war, and he understood it. Wow. And I understood it. So my eyes were open to the things of the Spirit when I was 19. Whatever reason, I went back. You know, you can't be a Lone Ranger Christian. You can't not be all in the kingdom. I tried 1 foot here and 1 foot there. Guess what ended up? I ended up going back into the world. 17 years of that. A form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And God graciously, about 1990, reeled me back in. And yeah, praise God. He's long-suffering. But I did waste those years. You know, I did, in a sense, waste those years. And God restores what the locust has eaten. I don't feel guilty about those things. I mean, God's given me the grace. But the idea, the truth of the matter is, you don't have to waste all those years of your life. You don't have to be backslidden. But there was a love. There was a drawing of the world. I didn't want to give up or whatever, thinking that that was somehow superior. The Bible says it's like this. It's like a dog going back to his vomit. I know that's very graphic, but hey, that's in the Bible. And that's exactly what it's like when you would, you know, be given what God has given you and to go back into the world. And he's saying, do not love the world or the things in the world. Now, so we got the world system that Satan is over. He's got these people blinded and they're believing it, and the lies that come with it, the things that are being taught, and one of them is how we got here, how evolution. That's a lie from Satan, and many people are believing that. Not everybody, not even every scientist believes that, by the way, so just so you know that, but because there's no evidence for it. It doesn't even make any sense. So, but there's this lie going on, and he's saying, you, as a Christian, do not love the world or the things in the world. The things in the world. John ends this letter by saying this in verse 21 of chapter 5. He says, little children, keep yourself from idols. Amen. Keep yourself from idols, things in the world. Now, what is an idol? An idol is anything that becomes more important to you than God. Anything. And it can be an inanimate object. I think in my own life, it was sports. Sports. That was my God. I went to the altar on a regular basis. You know, it's all there to worship. And I wasn't alone. You know, you go to the service and there's like thousands of us, right, screaming and, you know, this and that. And there are other things in the world. Anything that's more important to you than God. And you would say, well, that's not more important than God. Here's how you know. What are you thinking about all the time? Is there something in your life? And it could be something that seemingly could be used for good even, you know. But is it more important to you than God? In other words, do you want to spend time with that thing or whatever, or it could be a person even, than you would with the Lord? Do they come first or does the Lord come first? So be careful of the things of the world. They're shiny. And they appeal to the very base nature of man. And Christians still have that base nature, the nature of the flesh. And the warning from God is, don't love that. You know, love one another. But don't misplace your love on the world system or the things of the world. How important are the things of the world? Here's what he says about the things of the world. Look what he says in verse 16. For all that is in the world, this is how ridiculous that it is, that we would be enamored and love the things of the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The lust of the flesh, craving for sensual gratification. The needs of the body, the craving that you have just for the senses to be for sensual gratification. And then the lust of the eyes, the greedy longings of the mind. And we think about Adam and Eve, and Eve particularly, because she was in the garden there, and the fruit that was there was pleasant to behold. It was nice to look at. But before that, it was tasty looking. Man, you know, it was the forbidden fruit too. We've eaten these other ones. I wonder what that tastes like. And maybe she was even salivating after that thing, because, and the devil says, oh man, that's desirable. That's really desirable, what you can't have. And then it was good to look at, the fruit was too. Whatever it was pretty. It was good to look at, and probably that, man, I can't imagine what that might taste like. And then, not only that, the fruit in the garden, it was desirable to make one wise, the pride of life, wisdom, knowledge. There's a lot of people hung up in that. They just want more knowledge, need more wisdom. And you could be like God. You can possess the knowledge that God had. That's what Satan was saying to her, if you will disobey God. He didn't say it that way. But got her those three things. And from that time forward, they bought into that and disobeyed God. And those things are still pulling at us today. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. And God says, that's the kingdom of the world. That's how they live. That's how they live. But you are not in that kingdom anymore. You're in a different kingdom. And he says, you're not to love those things. They're not of me, but they're of the world. And then he gives us some good reasons. He says, verse 17, and the world is passing away. We learn that in Peter. I mean, I got to tell you, one of the first things that I did when I got saved, and this is kind of, I don't know if I've ever heard this testimony, but I couldn't litter anymore. I'm talking about immediately. I guess I was a big litterer. I don't know. But the point is, I could not throw stuff on the ground anymore. So I know that's somehow a godly attribute of taking care of the creation. Okay? I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but here's what I'm telling you. That can become a religion too. You take recycling to a place you should never take it. And some people do that. Because I'm going to tell you something. Here's the reality. The people that are all worried about the landfills filling up and the this and the that, it's all going to burn. It's all going to burn. This whole world as we know it's going to burn. Now, I'm not saying, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm saying we need to be a good steward of what God's given us. But don't be all worried about these things. That the world worries about stuff like that. If you sit there and think about it, yeah, where does all the trash go? All the trash we generate, and the pollute, you know, you could lose your peace over that. Here's what I'm going to tell you. This is the truth, and we have it. The truth will set you free. Peter tells us it's all going to burn, even the landfills. It's all going to burn. And the stuff that we think is important, it's all going to burn. Now, the thing about God is he's concerned about the souls of men, and he doesn't want them to burn. Unfortunately, a lot of them will. Not because God made it that way, because they chose to take that path, to go and stay in the world, not to respond to the gospel, the good news of God. So he tells us, God tells us, look, the world's passing away. In other words, it's temporary. Why in the world would you spend your time and you spend your energy trying to build something that's only temporary? I mean, you know, we got to think long term. You know, some people think long term and they think of retirement, right? And that's good. That's not a bad thing. You know, you got to pay into your retirement. Hey, I'm saying, let's take it a little longer than that. Seriously. And I mean this. I'm thinking about, what about when we get to, you know, you want to invest in the kingdom, man. Think about that. That's eternal. And you're going to be rewarded for that. Dividends. Guaranteed, you know, one of the things that's happening, and I'm not putting down people that have retirement. God bless you. And it's good to plan. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But I'm telling you, we got to think beyond that, a little beyond that, and think of the kingdom of God that never ends. And then that'll help us with our focus right here in the here and now, because the world is passing away. It's very temporary. The kingdom is going to last forever. So the world's passing away, and I'm glad this part of it, and the lust of it. Now, aren't you glad about that? Because as Christians, we do struggle with certain things. I do anyway, with certain things in the world. Oh, that looks good. You know, there's certain things that I still think, well, you know, am I ever going to get that Corvette? From the time I was a kid, I thought I'd get a Corvette someday. Never got the Corvette. Pastor, I don't think I'm ever going to get a Corvette. That's all right. That's all right. I have certain things. Wanted to fly airplane. All these things. We all have these little things. Sail around the world, maybe, or whatever, you know. I was always an underachiever, but the idea is, we, you know, we have these things that we just say, what for? I mean, talked to Louis Zamperini. Don't worry about sailing around the world. He went 2,000 miles in a raft in 47 days. He had enough of this sea, I'm sure, sailing around the world. But think about the things of the kingdom, the things that aren't passing away. I am glad that there's going to come a day when we will all be in a place where you wouldn't want what I have. And you know, the thing of wanting somebody else's thing or something like that. We'll all be in this place with the Lord someday, those of us that are Christians, where we won't have the desires, the ungodly desires that we still fight with in this side of heaven. And that's going to be gone. So that's good news for us. So these things are temporary. Just know that. And that should be encouraging to us. The struggle that we have is going to be temporary. And then he says, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So there's two things he contrasts. The lust of the world, the things of the world itself is passing away. That's temporary. But he says, those who do the will of God, they abide forever. But he who does the will of God abides forever. And so he's reminding us again today, the things that are eternal are more important. The things that last forever are more, should be more desirable. He's putting it before us to make right choices in our lives and the choices that I'm making. And what am I doing? Am I sowing to things that are temporary? Is that what I'm doing with my life? Am I trying to build my kingdom here on earth, which is very temporary? And by the way, the older you get, the quicker you see it go, the time goes by. Or am I sowing to things that are eternal, where they'll reap dividends forever? You know, and that's what God is saying to us this morning. As Christians, he wants you to be lovers. He wants you to love. Love one another, he said. Love God first. Love your neighbor as yourself. But then he says, don't love the world system, or the things of the world. There's a danger there. There's a snare there. There's a draw there. And there's no way that you can say, well, and this is part of the problem that we see today, can I have both? I mean, isn't once saved, always saved? Can I just be a Christian and then still do what I did before? And the answer, of course, is no, you can't. It's impossible to do that. We've already dealt with that. But the idea is, so you got to choose one. Just choose what you're going to do. Don't be lukewarm. Jesus doesn't like that, lukewarm. Half in, half out. He doesn't like that. And like on the day of Mount Carmel, remember when Elijah was on the mountain? It's time for Israel to make a decision today. If God is God, then serve him. If Baal is God, then serve him and go to hell. But you need to know that's truth. And that day on the mountain, God manifests himself in a big way. Elijah was outnumbered. There's 450 prophets of Baal, and he let them go first. Do you remember the story? And they did what they did. They were going to call down fire from heaven. They had to sacrifice there, and they jumped around, and they cried out to this God who really was not a God at all. No power, really, what to speak of at the point in time, and nothing happened. And the good news is Israel got to see that on this side of eternity. That the God they'd been following, that they what happened to them, they believed in the God of the universe, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What happened to them? They got away. And it was little by little, just how it happened in Corinth. There was just a little compromise here and a little bit of the world. I'll still hold on. No, there's no way you can do it. You get a lot of the world when you go that way, when you compromise, and that's what happened to them. But God loved them enough to stop the rain. When the rain stops, God gets people's attention. It still happens that way, by the way. Several years back when they had a drought in down south, you know, there's a separation of church and state, separation of church and state. They had a drought down there. Here they are, the government's at the state capitol having a prayer meeting. What happened to separation of church and state? Well, it's drying up. So God gets people's attention. Amen. By the way, God answered that prayer. They did get rain down there. But it's a choice that we make. And that day on that mountain, God manifested himself. And the people said, the Lord, he is God. Amen. The Lord, he is God. And they just weren't having a mental assent. Oh, we figured out who God is today. That's a great day, right? And let's go back to what we were doing. Now, that's not what happened that day. God manifested himself to remind them who he is and what he'd done for them, who he is to them. And then they had to make a choice. You notice he didn't make anything. They said it. The Lord, he is God. And then they followed him for a time. But that's what the Lord is saying to us today. We got to make a choice. It's that simple. It's a choice that we make. We want more of him, or we want more of the world. Because he's made us to have the privilege of choice. And you will reap what you sow. I guarantee you, whether it be in the world, the choices you make will affect the things that happen to you in the world. In the spiritual realm, the choices you make will affect what happens to you in the spiritual realm. And the word for us today is to turn loose of the things of the world. Maybe there has been some things. Maybe as a Christian, you're realizing that, yeah, you know what? There's some things I'm holding on to. There's some things that I shouldn't be doing, or some people, or whatever the case is. And God's only telling you this because it's for your benefit. It's impeding your spiritual growth. God has plans for you. And he wants you to let go of these things. Remember, they don't have a hold on you. You have a hold on them. I'm talking to Christians now. Non-believers, you could say that things have a hold on them. They have no power to get out of the grip of sin. That only comes when they come to Christ. But for the believer, the person who professes Christ, you're holding on to things. They're not holding on to you. And the answer for that is real simple. Open your hands, let it go today, whatever it would be. Because God's given you the strength, he's given you the grace, the power to say yes to him and to say no to the world.
You've probably heard someone say that they don't want to accept Christ because it will ruin all of their fun. There's a false notion out there that the God we serve is a cosmic killjoy who only wants to take away those things that are fun. As Christians, we know this isn't true. Walking in the truths of God's word is the only way to experience complete blessing and fulfillment in this life. In fact, the book that Pastor Bill is teaching through here on Anchored in the Word says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." To learn more about Anchored in the Word, Pastor Bill, or Calvary Chapel Coastlands, log on to anchoredintheword.com. There you'll find helpful tools that you can use to study God's Word. Again, our web address is anchoredintheword.com. Social media is such a big part of our lives these days. We encourage you to visit our Facebook page and become our Facebook friend. Log on to anchoredintheword.com and follow the link to our Facebook page. Or you can always give us a call. Our phone number here at Anchored in the Word is 732-544-2225. That's 732-544-2225. And don't forget to place a marker in your Bibles and join us again as Pastor Bill continues teaching through God's Word. That's all the time we have for today. Make plans to join us again for the next edition of Anchored in the Word.